got a sprain or an itch, pain that's swelling or twitch, call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky. I call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
Speaking of...
That first clip was in a tennis match, with the announcer stating the score was love 15. The second was during the act of a chicken laying an egg. So what do these two clips have in common? Well, the first clip mentions the score is love 15, which may have its origin for the word love in the word leuf, L'OEUF, the French word for egg, which looks like a zero, while the second clip, as we said, concerns the chicken laying the egg. So, now that you know what our first topic is, we can start with a fun fact about eggs, just to get your circulation going. An average hen starts laying eggs at 19 weeks of age, and eventually lays around 300 to 325 eggs a year. That's just about one a day. To accomplish this, a hen must eat 4 pounds of feed to make a dozen eggs. That means that during the course of a year, each hen must eat around 100 pounds of feed.
Over the past few years, we have heard, even right here on the Hey Doc show, the advantages and disadvantages of keeping eggs as part of your diet. Well, maybe today Dr. Lasky and I can get to the root of this and discramble all the information so that we can come to valid facts about eggs and their value as a nutritional human food.
So let's start with a recent article titled, Why Are Eggs Good For You? Is it really an exceptional superfood? Historically, eggs have been considered unhealthy because they contain cholesterol. A single large egg contains 212 milligrams of cholesterol, which is a lot compared to most other foods.
However, many studies have shown that the dietary cholesterol in eggs does not adversely affect cholesterol levels in the blood.
In fact, eggs raise your good HDL cholesterol and change your bad LDL cholesterol from small and dense to large, which is benign. I always learned that it is a healthy thing when talking about cholesterol to keep the lows low and the highs high, meaning eat more HDL or high-density lipoproteins and maintain the lows low, meaning the low-density lipoproteins or LDL.
One analysis of 17 studies on egg consumption and health discovered no connection between eggs and either heart disease or stroke in otherwise healthy people.
Indeed, one such study was reported in the reputable British Medical Journal, and it came to the conclusion that higher consumption of eggs, up to one egg per day, is not associated with increased risk of coronary heart disease or stroke. What's more, multiple other studies have led to the same conclusion.
Eggs are also quite rich in the two antioxidants called lutein and zeaxanthin. These antioxidants gather in the retina of the eye, where they protect against harmful sunlight and reduce the risk of eye diseases like macular degeneration and cataract.
In another actual study, supplementing with an average of 1.3 egg yolks per day for 4.5 weeks increased blood levels of lutein by 28 to 50% and zeaxanthin by 114 to 142%. Remember, if you really think about it, one single egg contains all the nutrients and building blocks that are required to grow an entire baby chicken.
Eggs are also loaded with high-quality protein, vitamins, minerals, good fats, and various trace nutrients. A large egg contains 5 grams of fat, 6 grams of protein, with all 9 essential amino acids.
An egg is also rich in iron, phosphorus, selenium, and vitamins A, B12, B2, and B5, among others. I could keep going. An egg also contains around 113 milligrams of choline, which is a very important nutrient for our brains. Fun fact 2. Are you excited? About 240 million laying hens produce some 50 billion eggs each year in the United States alone. That's roughly one hen for every man, woman, and child in the country.
So, do eggs make you fat? Think about it. They are filling and more likely help you lose weight. They also contain very few carbohydrates, which means they will not raise your blood glucose levels.
In fact, in a study of 30 overweight or obese women that ate either a bagel or eggs for breakfast, the egg group ended up eating less during lunch, eating less the rest of the day, and for the next 36 hours. In another study, overweight adults were calorie restricted and given either 2 eggs, which have about 340 calories, or bagels for breakfast.
After 8 weeks, the egg-eating group experienced not only a 61% greater reduction in BMI, but also 65% more weight loss. There was also a 34% greater reduction in waist circumference, along with 60% greater reduction in body fat.
The difference was significant, even though both breakfasts contained the same number of calories. We often view cholesterol as a totally negative part of our diet. This is because some studies have linked high levels of cholesterol with heart disease and early death.
But you also have to remember that cholesterol plays a very important function in your body. It is a structural molecule that is essential to every cell membrane in your body. It is also used to make steroid hormones like testosterone, estrogen, and cortisol.
Because it's so important, your body has evolved elaborate ways to ensure that it always has enough cholesterol available. Because getting cholesterol from the diet isn't always an option, your liver produces enough to meet your body's needs.
But when you eat a lot of cholesterol-rich foods, your liver starts producing less to keep cholesterol levels from becoming excessively high.
Therefore, the total amount of cholesterol in your body changes only very little, if at all. What changes is the source, your diet or your liver. Nevertheless, you should still avoid eating excessive amounts of cholesterol if your blood levels are raised. A high intake may cause a moderate increase in blood cholesterol levels. Your next question may be related to just how many eggs can we eat daily? Remember at the start of the show we said that the study only tested one egg daily and its effect on body cholesterol? How about if we eat more than that?
For many decades, people have been advised to limit their consumption of eggs, or at least the egg yolks. A single medium-sized egg contains 186 milligrams of cholesterol, which is 62% of the recommended daily intake. In contrast, the white is mostly protein and low in cholesterol.
So common recommendations include a maximum of 2 to 6 yolks per week. However, scientific support for this limitation is still lacking. A few studies have examined the effects of eggs on cholesterol levels. These studies divided people into 2 groups. One group ate 1 to 3 whole eggs per day, while the other ate something else, such as an egg substitute.
Results here show that in almost all cases, good HDL cholesterol goes up and bad LDL cholesterol levels usually remain unchanged, but sometimes increase slightly.
It appears that the response to eating whole eggs depends on the individual. So in 70% of people, eggs had no effect on total or bad LDL cholesterol. However, in 30% of people, these markers do go up slightly.
Before we give eggs the full thumbs up, let's look at some more studies. Multiple studies have examined egg consumption and its relation to heart disease risks.
Researchers then used statistical methods to determine whether certain habits, like diet, smoking, or exercise, are linked to either a decreased or increased risk of certain diseases. These studies some of which include hundreds of thousands of people, consistently show that people who eat whole eggs are no more likely to develop heart disease than those who don't. And some of the studies actually showed a reduced risk of stroke.
However, this research suggests that people who have type 2 diabetes and eat a lot of egg have an increased risk of heart disease. But one controlled study in people with type 2 diabetes found that eating 2 eggs per day, 6 days a week, for 3 months did not significantly affect blood lipid levels.
But in all fairness, we have to look at some of the articles written by people on the other side of the debate on whether the egg is good or bad.
Consider one study published in the Journal of Atherosclerosis Research that found regular egg consumption to be as dangerous as smoking cigarettes.
But remember that many of these studies are done or funded by groups that have other agendas, such as those that are concerned that most egg-laying hens live out their lives in barren battery cages with less floor space than the dimensions of a sheet of notebook paper. Just picture that. What's more, because male chicks don't lay eggs or grow quickly enough to be raised profitably for meat, they are often killed within hours of hatching. Some are ground up alive while others are gassed or suffocated.
There seems to be more yelling on each side of the issue than there is during the Democratic debates of the last few months. You will simply have to make up your mind.
We still have a few fun facts concerning eggs, so we're going to blast you with some of these. First, the eggshell may have as many as 17,000 tiny pores over its surface. Through them, the egg can absorb flavors and odors. Eggs are placed in their cartons, and if you've noticed, large end up. The reason for this is to keep the air cell in place and the yolk centered. The largest single chicken egg ever laid weighed a pound with a double yolk and double shell.
The most expensive egg ever sold was a Fabergé winter egg sold in 1994 for $5.6 million.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center.
I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 33 years.
We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just 2 blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. You know, we've talked about antioxidants in the past and even mentioned it a few minutes ago on the show. But what are they?
Antioxidants are simply molecules that fight free radicals in your body. Our next question is, what are free radicals?
Free radicals are compounds that can cause harm if their levels become too high in your body. They're linked to multiple illnesses, including diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. Your body does have its own antioxidant defenses to keep free radicals in check. However, antioxidants are also found in foods, especially in fruits, vegetables, and other plant-based whole foods.
Several vitamins, such as vitamin E and C, are effective antioxidants. Antioxidant preservatives also play a crucial role in food production by increasing shelf life.
Remember that free radicals are constantly being formed in your body. Without antioxidants, free radicals would cause serious harm very quickly, eventually resulting in death. However, free radicals also serve important functions that are essential for health.
For example, your immune cells use free radicals to fight infections. As a result, your body needs to maintain a certain balance of free radicals and antioxidants. When free radicals outnumber antioxidants, it can lead to a state called oxidative stress.
Prolonged oxidative stress can damage your DNA and other important molecules in your body. Sometimes it even leads to cell death. Damage to your DNA increases your risk of cancer, and some scientists have theorized that it plays a pivotal role in the aging process. Several lifestyle, stress, and environmental factors are known to promote excessive free radical formation and oxidative stress. These include air pollution, cigarette smoke, alcohol intake toxins, high blood sugar levels, high intake of polyunsaturated fatty acids, excessive sunbathing, bacterial, fungal, or viral infections, and even excessive intake of iron, magnesium, copper, or zinc.
Intense and prolonged exercise, which causes tissue damage, may also be detrimental. Even excessive intake of antioxidants such as vitamin C and E may be dangerous.
To summarize, we can say that bodies need to maintain a certain balance between free radicals and antioxidants. When this equilibrium is disrupted, it can lead to oxidative stress.
We have probably all heard at one time or another that berries, green tea, coffee, and dark chocolate are renowned for being good sources of antioxidants.
According to some studies, coffee is the single biggest source of antioxidants in the Western diet. But this is partly because the average individual doesn't eat that many antioxidant-rich foods. Meat products and fish also contain antioxidants, but to a lesser extent than fruits and vegetables.
Antioxidants can increase the shelf life of both natural and processed foods. Therefore, they are frequently used as food additive. For instance, vitamin C is often added to processed foods to act as a preservative.
There are two types of antioxidants, those that are water-soluble and those that are fat-soluble. Kind of like house paints, where you have either water-based or oil-based paints for purchase. Water-soluble antioxidants perform their actions in the fluid inside and outside the cells, whereas the fat-soluble ones act primarily in the cell membranes themselves.
Vitamin C is a water-soluble antioxidant, while vitamin E is fat-soluble and plays a critical role in protecting cell membrane against oxidative damage.
Curcuminoids. I love that word. Curcuminoids have been in the news lately. They are antioxidants that are found in turmeric. Also, oleocanthal is found in extra virgin olive oil. These particular substances function not only as antioxidants, but also as potent anti-inflammatory agents. So should you take antioxidants in addition to the ones that you get in your foods? Remember that excessive intake of isolated antioxidants can have toxic effects and may even promote rather than prevent oxidative damage. It is for this particular reason most health professionals advise people to avoid high-dose antioxidant supplements.
It is probably better to eat plenty of antioxidant-rich whole food rather than purchase them as supplements.
Studies indicate that foods reduce oxidative damage to a greater extent than supplements. For example, one study compared the effects of drinking blood orange juice and sugar water, both of which contained equal amounts of vitamin C. It found that the juice had significantly greater antioxidant power.
These results suggest that foods compounds work synergistically. Taking just one or two isolated nutrients won't have the same beneficial effects.
You know, the best strategy to ensure adequate antioxidant intake is to follow a diet rich in various vegetables and fruits alongside all of the other health habits that we've talked about.
However, low-dose supplements such as multivitamins may be beneficial if you are deficient in certain nutrients or unable to follow a healthy diet.
We're going to end this discussion today as we began last week's, and that is to discuss just what is happening in the world with the coronavirus. We just got a report from the FDA concerning an indirect health effect of the coronavirus. The outbreak would likely impact the medical product supply chain, including potential disruptions to supply or shortages of critical medical products in the United States.
This is because a shortage of a human drug is related to a site affected by coronavirus. The shortage is due to an issue with manufacturing of an active pharmaceutical ingredient used in the drug.
There are many drugs where the main ingredient in the drug and parts that produces the intended effects that are manufactured in China. This includes quite a bit of acetaminophen, you know, the ingredient in Tylenol. The FDA has so far identified about 20 other drugs which solely source their active pharmaceutical ingredients or even the finished drug products from China.
This also goes for medical devices, as there are at least 63 manufacturers, which represent 72 facilities in China, that produce essential medical devices.
The FDA already knows of several of these facilities in China which are already adversely affected by the coronavirus, citing workforce challenges, including the necessary quarantine of workers.
Even things as simple as personal protective equipment, surgical gowns, gloves, masks, respiratory protective devices, or other medical equipment designed to protect the wearer from injury or the spread of infection or illness, may be a short supply due to shipping and manufacturing problems in China.
And of course, we have been hearing on the news the effect that the pandemic has had on the financial world, with fears that it could tip the world economy into recession. This has already sent global stocks into a tailspin Friday, with markets on track for their worst weeks since the financial crisis. This is not only happening here in the United States on Wall Street, but in the European and Asian markets as well. Since we covered the coronavirus in last week's show, we'll just give you the nutshell view right now and leave you with some advice.
It is caused by a new member of the coronavirus family. Many of these initially infected either worked or frequently shopped in the Hunan seafood wholesale market in China.
The symptoms are similar to many other viral infections. It can cause pneumonia, and symptoms include coughs, fever, and breathing difficulties. And in severe cases, there can be organ failure. Since this is a viral disease, remember, antibiotics do not work.
And unfortunately, the antiviral drugs that we have against flu will not work either. So until a cure is developed, treatment aims to relieve the symptoms while your body fights the illness.
Okay. Beep, 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 beep.
Attention, just a few seconds ago, it came across our computer screen that an Israeli researcher stated that they should have a vaccine against the coronavirus within just 3 months.
The result depends on the strength of your immune system. Many of those who have died were already in poor health. Initially, there was a question of whether the virus passed from human to human. Now it has been confirmed across the globe. And as of February 25th, the outbreak has affected 80,000 people globally. Now, in mainland China, there have already been 2,663 deaths among 77,658 cases. Now, the coronavirus has spread to at least another 50 countries. Why is this worse than normal influenza? And how worried are the experts?
The mortality rate is around 2% in the epicenter of the outbreak and less than that elsewhere. For comparison, seasonal flu typically has a mortality rate below 1% and is thought to cause about 400,000 deaths each year globally. SARS had a death rate of more than 10%.
Hand washing and avoiding other people if you feel unwell are really important. Remember that it has not yet been called an epidemic. I know, I called it a pandemic a moment ago, but that's not quite true, since the World Health Organization defines a pandemic as the worldwide spread of a disease.
The spread of the virus outside China is worrying, but not an unexpected development. So the WHO has declared the outbreak to be a public health emergency of international concern, a matter of semantics.
So the question for all of us is, what will America's choice be as it faces the disease? We have heard many say that the question concerning the spread of this virus is not if, but when.
We had another great topic for you, but time does not permit us to get to it today. So next week, we will talk about vegan leather, a new product invented in Mexico, which could change the world or at least make it a better place to live.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana.
We've come to the end of another Hey Doc show.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.